So we're back, right? And is it still Wednesday? You better believe it, baby. I had to get fingerprinted today. I'm an anarchist. I got fingerprinted. My life is its own special absurd nightmare. But okay. Had to get fingerprinted. Not for legal reasons, not to my knowledge, unless it's some sort of complex sting. Now, it's related to a job I may start soon. And I don't want to say too much about it because it fits into the category of shit you do to get by. But I could end up helping some kids, you know, with tutoring type stuff. So we'll see. Maybe do some good. They say that's good for your soul. But yeah, maybe do some good. I don't know. I think we try to close out this history discussion by dealing with the following fact. We can spend all day, excuse me. We can spend all day obsessing over whether or not the history we've been taught is true. We can't. We can spend all day, all morning, all afternoon, could history be bullshit? But the fact is, it's worse than that. From a kind of epistemic or metaphysical perspective, history is highly subjective and deeply connected to culture. In fact, it's worse than that. History is connected to history. If you study the history of the Soviet Union between World War II and the collapse, you'll find out something interesting. Certain characters, like Marshal Zhukov, will show up in a book and then disappear. Show up and then disappear. All of that a function of political history within the Kremlin. The Kremlin, you know, certain people like Khrushchev, for example. Khrushchev and Zhukov, I don't think they had a very good relationship during World War II, or the Great Patriotic War, as the Russians call it. And so I think during the Khrushchev period, Zhukov was on the out. It's weird, you know? It's not weird, too. And even though the Soviet Union may seem like an extreme example, I think that applies to the United States also. History itself will impact the history that gets taught, that in terms of how we see it, depending upon whether it's the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or whatever. I mean, there's a huge difference between how we talk about race in America today than in the 1940s. And there's, I think, a fairly significant difference in how we think about gender. So does that mean that all the history that was taught about the same period previously is bullshit? No. But depending upon the decade of the 20th and 21st century, you could be looking at the same historical event and you'd have a different perspective. So history kind of rewrites history. And sometimes we get more knowledge. Sometimes we find Dead Sea Scrolls and they're not forgeries, right? Sometimes we find knowledge, we find an artifact, we find something, and that changes the way we see a historical event. So it's bad that way. So when we think about, well, what if history is bullshit? Well, the problem is, I know, as someone that studied history, that depending upon the decade, you can have many perspectives about the same historical event. And then you're left with, well, who's right? You know, some would argue people closer to the event are right. And some would argue, no, you have to be detached. You have to be further away. Still, you're left with who's right. Then you add in the cultural factor. The way that a Russian sees World War II is not the same way that an American does. The way we're taught World War II, we saved the world. The way the Russians are taught it, more or less they did. And both sides can make a compelling argument. I mean, after the invasion of Russia in 1941, more than 75% of all German forces were committed to the Eastern Front. That means economics, that means soldiers, that means weapon systems, that means research and development for new systems, all Eastern Front. After the invasion in Normandy, the Germans considered fighting on the Western Front against us a kind of vacation. So the Russians have a good argument to make that they too could say, we won the war. But again, you know, maybe everyone's wrong, maybe everyone's right in this case. Culture impacts how you see a historical event. Culture impacts how you see a nation and its context in history. You know, Native American culture today, contemporary culture, and I'm making a guess, but I would guess they see the arrival of Europeans very differently than a lot of Europeans see themselves in terms of the New World. Which side is right? Which side is wrong? I think that if you're a Native American, you probably feel as if you have compelling ethical arguments to say, well, we're right. But at the same time, even though I would agree with that position, like I would say, though, you know, that is the side of the issue on this issue, you should listen to that culture before you listen to somebody else, it does not imply that everything from the other perspective is false. So it's worse than, they lied to us, Dan. They rewrote the timeline. It's aliens. They're running experiments. It's actually worse than that, because even if it's all those things, you're still stuck with humans redefining what history is. And frankly, like I keep saying, because this kind of coincides with humans' predilection for mind-fucking, mind-control, psychological warfare at any scale, the history of these sciences, quote-unquote, we apply to history, coincides with a history of fakery and forgery and magicians and people who practice, you know, primitive forms of what's, you know, I forget the term right now, lesser magic, essentially. But, the history of all this science behind history coincides with a history of bullshit. And you have to also figure out how to go through that. And then, on top of all of this, as an anarchist, I'll tell you, if it's true the victors write the history, well, there's a good chance that there's an entire history of anarchism that's been completely thrown away, that we'll never know about. Because the winners are the people who vote and have kings and queens and dictators. Whatever government you have, it's lovely. You won. For now. You're the ones in charge in a way. For now. You know, a lot of us can choose to live free, but again, we live on the Death Star. Yeah. What does it mean to live free on the Death Star, you know? Your guess is as good as mine, really. So the question of history isn't just about, could it be bullshit? It's also the question of, how would you know? What would be your basis of knowledge? In the worst case, with the example from a previous discussion of the quantum copier, a physicist could make an argument with a philosopher and say, you can't know. This would be an artifact that would be imperceptible from something as aged, as patinaed, as weathered. It would be equivalent. There'd be no way to know. Now, of course, that technology doesn't exist, right? But even barring that tech, people are very sophisticated at faking documents. They really are. And then you add in, like I said, the government factor. You're going to have manipulation from the top down towards a narrative. However the COVID is written, it'll be heroes, healthcare heroes, dancing nurses, keeping people happy. It'll be a story that makes it look like it wasn't a social atrocity. Because the nicest thing you can say about COVID-19 is it could have been, and probably is, the worst public health disaster in human history. Because, best interpretation, they didn't just overreact. They harmed a lot of people. They harmed a lot of people psychologically. Probably multiple generations of kids are harmed permanently, hopefully not permanently, but they have trauma. And the list goes on and on. The damage done by that bullshit, COVID-19, even if you want to say, well, Dan, it was kind of real. Like, I'm kind of an NBA basketball player because I can dribble. That's the best way. But you know how it'll be told? They were heroes. They saved millions. If it wasn't for them, all of Bo Blimtok would have been destroyed. That if there is a history, you know, where people tell the history of COVID-19, and believe me, to me, that's a giant fucking question mark. But let's pretend. Let's play pretend. If someone is telling that history sometime down the road, yeah. I don't know how to put it. It's probably going to make COVID-19 a story of heroes, because that's how it works out. And maybe they'll allow one or two conspiracy theorists to have their own sideline show of bullshit, but that too serves a purpose to keep people under control. Like I said, there are sheepdogs right outside the perimeter of Overton's paddock. Not Overton's window, but Overton's paddock. And those sheepdogs have one purpose, to tell you a lot of truth, but a few lies to keep you inside. YouTube is filled with sheepdogs. And some of them may not know they're doing it. I mean, some of them may just be useful idiots. But in a lot of cases, these are people, duplicitous people, who are deliberately there to feed you with bullshit. So you're once again stuck with, how the fuck do you know? What is your criteria for knowledge? Is it collective knowledge? If the community agrees, does it exist? Is it the personal experience? You know what? We're going to talk about that next.